Welcome to Song Creating on Radio St. Pete Sunshine 96.7 FM. Join us as we celebrate the sparks that ignite, the events that inspire, and the songwriters that create. With your host, Steve Robb.
Stephanie James beautifully blends the smoothness of a jazz singer with the honey-coated sound of a classic country singer, with songs ranging from heartstring tugging ballads to uplifting songs. Her 17 years of real-world performance have brought her to venues from coast to coast, including the Hotel Cafe in L.A., Rockwood Music Hall in New York City, and Brighton Music Hall in Boston. So, Stephanie James, welcome to Song Creating.
Thank you so much. How are you?
Just fine, thank you. Great to have you along here today. And you're currently in Boston, right?
Correct. Yes, I'm back.
Okay, you're back, which we're not going to jump into the song already. That's too soon. But your song has a little bit to do, or a lot to do with, about you being back. So did you grew up in Boston, right?
Yes, I grew up just north of the city. So, but I say Boston, you know.
Right. So where did music start entering your life?
You know, my parents don't play any instruments, but they were always playing music in the house and in the car. And my grandparents were watching me a lot when my parents were working. And so I spent a lot of time listening to music with my grandparents. And I was always singing. I loved listening to, you know, Sesame Street, and was always singing. And my grandparents were like, you know, she has a gift, you know, she really can sing. And so, you know, throughout school and everything, I started performing and auditioning for things, you know, chorus and drama club and all that. And then it wasn't until I got to high school where I really started to take performing seriously. So, yeah. So, and then I started writing songs in college and all that.
Oh, good. Now, when growing up north of Boston, I'm wondering, did you have an accent that you have strived very hard to lose? Because you do not have the classic Boston accent.
I'm glad you say that. My dad and his side of the family do have a strong accent. I think sometimes with my A's, some people that aren't from here are like, what are you saying? And I'm like, I don't know. I think it's a little hint, but I definitely try to, you know, speak properly and not pock the con hobbit yad, you know?
So Yeah. I know it is a struggle sometimes as you're growing up around Boston to make sure you can change that. And you're also a vocal coach.
Yes.
And is that all something that goes into singing strategy, enunciation? I mean, how does that play in?
It's really important. You know, even, you know, I teach musical theater and pop, and I do some classical as well. That's what I was trained in. My background was, you know, being cross-trained, and I still do a lot of vocal training for myself. But it's really important, even if we're singing a pop song and it's a Billie Eilish tune and we're getting whispery up on the mic, it's really important, the diction and just the way we're phrasing things, you know. If we're going to say, you know, I'm falling in love, we might say I'm fallen in love. We're not pronouncing the G, but we're still going to give some flavor to the way we're speaking the words.
Does that play a part in vocal training to try to avoid that? Because I haven't really thought about this, but when you do hear pop songs or any kind of song, you've got the Southern country accent, which follows, you know, goes along with country music. It almost seems like it defines a country song when you hear an accent, but otherwise I don't feel like that's something that's that common, you know, hearing a New York accent or a Brooklyn accent or I don't know if that's anything that is taught.
Yeah. I think, you know, right now a lot of like I only speak English and like very minimal Spanish from high school that I don't think even counts. But, you know, a lot of students that I had when I was in California, they spoke Chinese and Mandarin. And so the way that they place their vowels is like kind of further back. And so a lot of the different languages affect the singing, like where you place vowels and a lot of the forming of the words. Even when I was doing like Italian songs, Italian arias back in the day. Like, there's certain ways that you have to form the vowels and the ends of the words and the beginnings, and it's very different. It's very different. So I think, like, you know, if you grew up speaking Spanish, you know, as your main language, and then you're switching to English, you definitely have to work on the accent if you want it to sound like you are from the United States in a way.
So you have covered a lot of, I mean, you've already in the first 3 minutes, we've mentioned the pop and the Italian arias and the show tunes. I mean, you're really covering a lot of different things here, aren't you, in your life?
Yeah, I did a lot. And I, you know, I'm really grateful for the training I had because it's made me a really strong vocalist. Yes, my music is like pop and like hints of country and soul, but I think I would not have gotten that if I wasn't listening to all different types of music, you know, trying to copy certain artists, whether it was like, you know, Whitney Houston or Christina Aguilera or maybe Madonna, you know, like it really depends. But all that training is just like was really valuable. And I love, you know, as an artist, one of my favorite things is like being able to utilize my voice in different ways and tell the stories. I think there's so much to be explored with the voice, which is exciting.
You know, you mentioned these the voices like the Christina Aguilera. And I remember having this long debate with the friend of mine of who had the best voice, Amy Winehouse or Christina Aguilera. And they are so completely different. And I was convinced it was Christina Aguilera because her voice is just so incredibly crystal clear. But I think there's a different kind of passion or grit in an Amy Winehouse kind of voice. And I guess you just can't really say one's better than the other. They're just very different.
Right. They're so different and they make you feel different ways. Like when I listen to Christina, I feel like I can do anything and I'm going to belt it out and, you know, do some riffs. If I'm listening to Amy Winehouse, I'm like in my feels. I'm like, maybe I might cry, you know, but they're just so two of the best for sure. I don't know if we can compare them though. That's a really tough argument.
Yeah. So, and what do you think about Billie Eilish as a vocalist?
You know, my personal opinion is I love strong vocalists. I love the storytelling. I love the passion. I love seeing them go from low to high. I love that. I don't listen to Billie Eilish like for fun. There are some cool vocal things that she does. I think the production aspect of her work is really great with her brother Phineas, but I'm not like, this is the best vocalist. I'm going to, you know, copy everything. But with that said, there are things to learn about how to work in a studio and get those breathy tones and all that, but not necessarily like a sustainable way to be singing for live performances.
Well, we're not here to talk about other people. We're here to talk about you, Steph. let's go back to high school. You said you started songwriting in high school, or was it college?
Yeah, you know, I always wrote poetry and lyrics, but I never felt like I was good enough to be able to like make music or, you know, make a song with a piano or a guitar or something. So it wasn't until college when I was hearing other people in practice rooms and whatnot, you know, and I'm like, you know what? There are plenty of people here who play instruments. I know a little bit of piano. Why don't I try to write a song? And I wrote my first song in a practice room and it was called Staring at the Keys. And it was like, obviously not a good song, but it was really funny. And I went into Berklee as a vocal performance major and then ended up switching it to pro music, which lets you take, you know, a bunch of different classes. And I ended up taking an intro to songwriting class with Scarlett Keys, if you know her.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, I'm so grateful for that class because she was so encouraging. I mean, I'm in this class and I've written like one song and these people have written songs like their whole life and they're at Berklee for songwriting. And I don't know how I had the guts to do so because I'm looking back and I'm seeing those people like progress in their careers. And I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe that I showed them my really bad, you know, 4-chord songs, you know, in that class. So that's kind of where the songwriting started.
There's been a lot of really famous four chord songs out there. So, and even three chord and even two chords. So.
That's true.
Don't sell yourself short. But I know the first songs we write are always the worst. So you went to college though. I mean, you were going to make music your career.
Yes.
And you thought about that even in high school. So were you like the lead in all the musical shows, that kind of thing, or were you playing out singing in bars at a young age?
You know, I was singing at a lot of school events. I sang at a lot of nursing homes, which I still sometimes do on occasion. It's a really nice way to give back. And, I did a lot of those like singing competitions, like local things. And I don't know if I would recommend that to people now because it's a little dicey. But I was not getting the leads and I actually never got any solos in high school. Funnily enough. And I wasn't a great actress. I was always a singer. The drama teacher was really nice. There was one show where I came out in between scenes and I sang like a quick little song and that was my part. And I was thrilled. That was really kind that he had recognized like, hey, you know, she's going to sing, she's not going to act. And that was great. So, yeah, that was my experience there.
So don't you have to, apply to get in, not apply, but you have to audition to get into Berklee, right?
Yes. Yeah. So I auditioned in Boston for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess I'm just wondering, given it seems like it was a bit of a leap of faith for you to make that a college career after not really, you know, I've talked to other people who go to college, and I'm not challenging you on this by any means, but you know, they go to Berklee because they've been, you know, writing songs you know, since ninth grade or you know, getting the leads in all the plays and musicals. So what I'm just trying to get, what was it that made you confident? I guess maybe that's the word I'm looking for. What gave you that self-confidence that Berklee was the place to go?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't supported in my high school, really, with my career. So I had I've been performing since I was 12 on stage. And I had some really incredible coaches along the way. One who had me sing with his band, you know, at different events. And I got opportunities to perform that way outside of school. So I guess every, you know, not famous person, but a lot of people have those people in their life that, you know, were discouraging them, and they either, you know, stay discouraged or they find other people who are going to believe in them and work with them. And that's what I did. I kind of quieted the noise there of all that. And there are a couple like pivotal moments that I had. One of my voice coaches would take me to the homeless veteran shelter in Boston around Christmas time. And we do patriotic songs and Christmas music, and they'd have, you know, a fundraiser for them. And I went to that in middle school, and I had one event where I was singing God Bless America. And I just started crying because I was so moved that like these veterans are here and like, you know, this is, you know, they've been through so much, and I'm singing this patriotic song and they all stand up. I almost get emotional thinking about it. They all stand up and they start singing. And I'm like, this is music. This is like, this is powerful. This is magic. And from that point on, I've kind of like, whenever I feel like, oh, why am I doing this? Like, what matters? Like, those moments matter on stage mostly.
Yeah.
So
you, I don't think you mentioned that before, that you had vocal coaching as far back as middle school or even before that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you were getting your positive reinforcement. That's what I wasn't quite sure where it was, because you weren't getting it from high school, it sounds like, but you got it elsewhere. So good for you.
Totally. Yeah. I'm really grateful. And my parents and my family have always been like super encouraging and supportive. So I'm grateful for that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. So when does a girl's voice start to change? You do. I mean, you don't, obviously it doesn't change like a voice to full octave, but you do start changing from that little girl voice to that adolescent or adult female voice? When does that start happening?
Oh gosh, usually one of the first like voice changes is like around puberty, but then it'll change a few years after that. You know, male and female vocalists will go through several voice changes from, you know, age 10, 11 until they're like, you know, in their 20s. It really depends. And there will be times when you feel like there are gaps in your voice and holes, and, you know, you won't have the high notes you used to have when you were 8 years old, you know, or then you'll start getting low notes. So it's kind of like always working with that flexibility of the changes and try not to get too upset about it.
Yeah. You can't hit having to adapt to it, I guess, as it goes.
Mm-hmm, totally.
Did you start writing more songs after that first, Staring at the Keys after that first one? Did it start developing from that point on at Berklee?
It did, because in the classes they would say, okay, you're going to write a song and these are the parameters for the song, and we'll have you play it next week in class. So it really pushed me to write songs every week. And there was a time when I would have several songwriting classes, so I would be writing two or three songs a week in school. Sometimes I would double dip and be like, okay, this song's going to have metaphors and use these chords and be in 6/8 and whatever. And I would try to, you know, use one song for three classes if I could, but I was just writing a lot. And then, I formed my own band, and started playing out around Boston and such. And so that was kind of, they also helped, you know, collaborate with some writing there as well. So it kind of pushed me to say like, okay, I like singing other people's songs, but now I like singing my own songs. Like, that's great.
So I want to go back to what you said. You didn't just get a song prompt and have to write a song about that in a week. You actually got, these are the chords that you need to write with and the time signature that you need to write to.
Sometimes, yeah, you know, we'd analyze a song that had a certain chord progression, and then they'd say, okay, this was an example. Now go home and learn how to use the 4 minor chord, for example, and incorporate that in your song.
Wow. So this seems like it's more of a music versus lyric songwriting course. Or did you also, well, I guess you talked about metaphors too, so you're also really incorporating lyrics. And I find a lot of songwriting seems to focus so much more on lyric writing, at least, you know, workshops seem to focus so much more on lyric writing than they do on actual chord structure and chord variety. Did you ever work with or take a course with Susan Cattaneo?
I did that. I think I took a lyric writing class with her, and it was great. It was all about rhyming and all the different types of rhymes. Oh my gosh, it was a great class.
Yeah. Yeah. She's been on the podcast here, and she brought up the word prosody, which you probably heard that a few times.
I love prosody. I use prosody in my song too.
You do. That's right. Actually, we're going to get to that in a minute. Yes, you really do. okay. So what's the band that you had? Are you an instrumentalist, or you're really pretty much a vocalist, I think, right?
I'm really a vocalist. I mean, I play a little piano, but my whole thing is I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm not good at. So I'm constantly surrounding myself with better musicians for the band and producers and stuff like that. It's kind of how I roll, and letting them kind of shine and help bring the music to life.
As you're performing and standing there without having an instrument to keep your hands, to keep you busy, now you've really got to be out there. And is there a freedom to that? Or I know I like hiding behind a microphone and hiding behind a guitar. But, you know, without having that it's a really different, it's a different perspective. It's a different view of the audience. It's a different way the audience views you. Is that the showmanship part of Stephanie James that really comes through?
I think so. I love to have fun up there. And I think luckily when I was younger, I had to be vulnerable and just hold the microphone and, you know, try to figure out what to do with my hands. I mean, it was hard, you know, when you're younger, you don't know what you're doing. And I've learned a lot by, you know, watching other artists, and I've had a lot of like experience performing, and I see what works, what doesn't work, you know, what looks genuine, what doesn't look genuine. And just kind of being in the song and just not really caring what people think when you're on stage. I mean, I feel the most comfortable when I'm up there. It's just easy to kind of go for it.
I would think, I know for myself, if I started like pointing at somebody when I'm singing the word "you," you know, I immediately go, "Oh my gosh, that's so trite."
It's so cheesy. Well, sometimes it can be, but you know, I have a lot of fun, you know, playing with the audience and making eye contact and certain things, especially if I'm at like, you know, I'm doing like a bar gig, for example. Like I love making eye contact and making a comment, you know, if I can, something playful, and they're like, "Oh my God, they saw me. Like, what are they, you know, doing?" And it can be fun. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it also brings the audience in, engages them a little bit more than otherwise. So what is the soft or the soul jazz voice that you have and the country voice? Are you finding that you're just sort of in between there? Describe that a little bit, how you how that defines your singing.
That's a great question. You know, I wouldn't say like I try to sing a certain way, like try to sing jazzy or try to sing, you know, twangy country. It's just kind of how it comes out naturally. You know, I love singing some jazz. I really do. I need to, you know, dive into it more. But I think that my, you know, my music that I'm writing is going down this more like country path, but not super country. I'm thinking like Kacey Musgraves kind of crossover country.
Yeah,
and it's funny because when I was younger, I never really liked country music or listened to it until kind of recently, and I still mostly listen to the crossover stuff where I'm gonna listen to like Dolly Parton and like the classics with that.
I meditate, I manifest, but nothing's working out. I left LA, came back east, didn't make a sound. Packed up all my boxes and I'm so embarrassed now. I still can't help this feeling that I'm letting myself down. There's something so damn comforting in this familiar house. The staircase creaks, the shower leaks, I've memorized each sound. Didn't think that I'd be back in my hometown. I still can't help this feeling that I'm letting myself down. But I'll figure it out, turn it around, stepping out now. I'm not going down, 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 down. I'm breaking all the promises I made when I was young. Like trying to be perfect, but I can't please everyone. I'm grateful that I'm broken, it's a roller coaster ride. I cry so much in therapy, I make it worth my time. I can't compare and second guess, I'll take a million baby steps. I'll do it different from the rest, oh yeah. I'll figure it out, turn it around, stepping out now. I'm not going down, 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 down. When I take a look around, there's a quiet that surrounds me. I remind myself to let it all go. I can't keep holding back the sound, both feet on the ground. I can't keep letting myself down, 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 down.
We're back again on Song Creating here with Stephanie James from Boston. So Stephanie, you're in Boston now. You grew up in Boston, but you did do a little bit of travel, I guess you could call it that. Or were you searching out? Is this a post-college excursion to parts unknown? What's your story on that?
Yeah, I finished college and I was really burnt out and I wanted to kind of recollect. So I stayed, you know, around for a little bit and, you know, saved up money to move to LA. And I moved there in January of 2019 and I left in March 2020 of the pandemic. You know, thought it would be a temporary thing, but then ended up, you know, not going back. It's really tricky because yes, I live there, but I was flying back every few months back here for gigs. And so I never felt quite settled. And I know that when they say you move to a new place, you need to give it at least a year to get used to it. And that the first year is the hardest and yada, yada. And so when I came back from LA because of the pandemic, even though everything was a hot mess and really hard for everybody, I was really relieved to not be there anymore. And I had a hard time coming, you know, being at peace with that because I felt like I had to be in LA or Nashville or New York to be, you know, successful and have my career. So I felt like there was this push and pull of where am I supposed to be?
I'm curious, given what were you looking for in LA that you couldn't find in, let's say, New York, which would be a much easier move for you, I imagine, from Boston?
Yeah, you know, a lot of my friends and colleagues that I, you know, wanted to work with and people that I don't know yet, but I, you know, admire that I wanted to work with were all in LA. And I felt like, you know, I should go there. You know, it's what everyone else does. Like, you know, I just got to, you know, plant something and get things going. Because here I felt like it was hard to pursue my original music and get fine producers to work with. In that way. So that's kind of why I went to LA. I thought about New York, but I don't know. I chose LA.
Flip of a coin. But Nashville wasn't, I mean, Nashville's just, I've heard there's a shuttle bus from Berkeley to Nashville these days.
I know, you know, everyone's like, why are you in Nashville? You should be in Nashville. And, you know, I spent a week there, you know, back in college and I'm, you know, need to go back and do some writing sessions and play and see friends. But I just like, I don't know. I have to go and see. But I really like being on the East Coast and I like being, excuse me, up here. It just feels, I feel comfortable. And I know that we have to like put ourselves in hard situations to overcome things, but for now, I'm okay with being here. And I feel like I've made so much progress being here.
Yeah.
So
here, meaning back in Boston.
Yeah.
And so, and this is kind of, this is what your song that we're talking about today called Down is about. And it's a different perspective on that whole pandemic, you know, your own personal angst, not so much of the pandemic itself, but the result of the pandemic, which brought you back, because my daughter did the same thing. She was in New York. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just had to find some safe harbor at that time. Yeah. It was
totally
crazy. Yeah.
Totally.
So my daughter moved back home with us with a backpack thinking it would last about 2 weeks.
I did pretty much the same. I brought it like a decent sized suitcase because I can never travel light. But yeah, I had all my winter sweaters. I didn't have any of my shorts, no summer clothes. I was just planning on being there for like the winter, I guess,
right.
March, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
What happened in when that all came down in LA? The whole city just shut down all the entertainment and everything? That must have been amazing.
Yeah, my birthday's in March, so one of my last few memories, pre-shutdown, was going out to dinner for my birthday, seeing friends, and then I went to this songwriting showcase at Hotel Cafe. This songwriter Jesse, it's called Jesse and Friends. I almost don't want to share the secrets because this showcase is so cool. And I remember she had like the Clorox wipes, and she was like, "Hey guys, like I'm just gonna wipe it off just in case. This might be our last show for a while. I'm not sure, but just have a good time tonight. Be safe." And we're all just like, "Okay, cool. Let's enjoy some music." And then I had a friend over for dinner, and he was like, "You're close to your parents. I'm surprised you're not gonna go back to, back to Massachusetts." And I'm like, "No, it will just be temporary." And he's like, "No, I think it's gonna be a long time. Like I'm." And then the next day I was like, "Yeah, I'll go home for a little bit. Like that's fine." And my mom was like, "I think you need to either come home now or not for a while." So I'm like, "I'll come home." And it was a very good decision, a great decision.
Yeah, I mean, and the whole idea of that, but I mean, we all have our stories about that, but yours in particular was, I mean, I think you really felt like you were letting yourself down by doing that, and that's really where this song comes from. So take us a little bit through all those emotions. And I mean, it wasn't just the pandemic. It was more than that.
Yeah, it was a lot of things. I have like a really distinct memory of maybe like April or something. And it was like one of the first warm days of 2020, and I was riding my bike. I haven't ridden a bike since I was who knows how old, around my elementary school because that's near my house, and I was just going for a bike ride. And I stop and I'm like, "What am I doing here? Like I have spent my whole life wanting to have this career and do all these things and be a superstar and, change the world with my music." Like that was always the goal, not to be famous, but to, be on these stages and feel joy on stage. And I'm like, I'm back at my I have a helmet on and I'm going in circles around my elementary school. Like what is this? And I know that we all had to, take a pause, and that was really hard. And it was good for me because I was reflecting. I'm like, I saw so many different things about the music industry that I didn't love, and things that people ask me, like, "What's LA like?" I've never been, and I say it's everything and nothing of what you expect it to be, is how I describe it. And one more thing that I think about is I remember being in high school and, telling my parents and having like, "Hey, I want to be a singer on stage," right? And in my head at that time, the hardest thing is that there's a lot of people that want to be singers, and that the hardest thing is going to be to keep going for that. Like, that's the only thing that's going to be difficult, right? Now that I'm, 28, it's like, okay, how are you going to support yourself financially? You have to make TikToks. You need to have a manager. Like, none of those things ever crossed my mind until I got older, but luckily, like, I still have that like fire inside me that's like, I can do this, and I'm happy with what I am doing. That was kind of a long ramble, but that's kind of what I faced, and then I had written this song, so that's kind of where I'm at.
Boy, the idea of riding around your elementary school on a bike,
Yeah.
that is classic, and I can imagine that would be a a reality check. Did you feel disappointed in yourself? Because this wasn't your fault. This was, but it seems like you kind of were disappointed in the situation, I guess.
Yeah, I was disappointed in the situation, of course. But I was just thinking about how, like, a few weeks before I left, I was going to job interviews, I was going to labels, I had meetings and doing things and getting rejection after rejection, and kind of being in this thing of like, okay, like you're getting closer, like just keep going. It's gonna be fine. Something's gonna happen. And then to have it all just kind of fall back. Luckily I had finished recording my album in January, so that was done at least. But it was like, okay, do we promote this? What do we do? Like, it was just kind of a lot. Yeah, there was just a lot going on in my head and a lot of reflection. Yeah.
Well, so you were shopping around the album and getting rejected, or everyone's been through all this rejection, but not so much. You're striving for something big in LA. How did that all? I mean, describe that a little bit. What that whole process must be like.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't necessarily like shopping my album. I was looking for management, and I was looking for an agent. And, you know, there's so many people mm-hmm. that I think have good intentions, you know, of like, oh, I have a friend of a friend who knows this friend who can help you. And you email them and you set up lunch and you get coffee and you meet these people. And it's always feels like this like hope of something. And then they're like, I'm going to send your music to Joe at this place. And it's like, it never goes anywhere. And it was always kind of disheartening. And you had to like, keep doing that. And I feel like you have to have 100 of those situations for one person to actually like help you keep the ball rolling in a way. And I felt like I was just kind of like getting into that, if you will.
Yeah, you've got this one line. I'm looking at your lyrics here. I'm grateful, then I'm broken. It's a roller coaster ride. I think you just described that right there.
Yeah.
So your song Down is based on this whole experience that you went through here, and on the musical side of this, as opposed to the lyrics, there's a real subtlety in your voice and not really. A lot of range in the melody. But yet you wait until the very end to really let people know that you've got some vocal chops here. You know, your final, towards the end, I can't think offhand what the last word is, but I mean, I know you've got range. I've heard you sing, and, it's almost like, I mean, was there a conscious decision here to hold back and then let it go? Or was that just how you felt the song should go without really any particular logic or thought to it?
Yeah, I mean, I can walk you through this, but I rewrote this song more times than you can count. I originally was screaming, belting out that chorus. The first chorus was da da da, like just going all out, and I was repeating it, and I was doing riffs and runs and not like, you know, because I was so upset at the time when I had first written it. And then I brought the song to a really great friend of mine, Leif Weigel, who I've written a lot of songs with, and we have a really good effort together of workshopping the songs and rewriting. So we had different bridges. And I think a lot of times when I've written in the past, I'm like, okay, I'm talking about something, there's a problem, and it's going to get solved by the end of the song. And we're going to end up happy. Like there's going to be resolution, right? And for this song, I was like, I don't want there to be a resolution because I don't feel totally resolved yet. I know that when I wrote the song, it was a way of processing what I was going through. And as time went on, I'm like, you know, I want this song to not be super uplifting. I don't want it to be super depressing. I want it to be like, hey, this happened. This is where I'm at. And I'm moving forward, but it's not like, it's not easy. And so I intentionally start the first chorus with just a lower octave, you mm-hmm. know? And then the second time I use my head voice, and it's kind of soft, like a cry, because I was crying when I wrote it, right? So I'm just kind of like, again, staying with what that was. And then by the end, there's this build of like, it's going to be okay. Like, you know, just sing it out, and that's how you feel. You don't need to bottle it up anymore. Just let it be. And that was kind of the process behind the different chorus levels of energy.
And then you just kind of let it go. I mean, that's kind of that's the end of the song there. Mm-hmm. Now have you, the recording we heard was just you and a keyboard player, friend of yours, right?
Yes.
Is there, do you have more orchestra? Do you have other versions of this with more instruments and the whole band sound? Or have you purposely kept it subtle?
You know, I don't have it recorded yet. I'm definitely going to have this released. I don't know if I'll keep it, you know, stripped down or not. We just did that for the Tiny Desk contest. And I was going to do a different song, but I was like, you know what? This is how I'm feeling in the moment. I'm just going to go with this one for now. But I'll definitely have, you know, it on Spotify, at some point really soon. And I haven't released music. I don't even want to even admit to this since 2020, the summer of 2020. That's when I dropped my album. And from that point on, I've just been like writing and writing and writing and working with some producers. I don't really want to get into all of it, but like things just haven't been working out with producers. So that's why things are taking so long. But new music will be out next month, at the end of next month. So it's been a long time coming, and I'm glad that people have been patient with me because I'm, you know, excited for the new music.
Oh, good, good. Do you think this song needs a full band?
You know, maybe. I mean, I did this. It's funny. I played this song at my last show in January with the band, and I had the band play, and then I did a stripped down section of the set of just a couple acoustic songs, and this was one of the acoustic ones. So I'm thinking it could be kept acoustic, you know.
Yeah, it's always hard to make that decision because it can sound great just being very stripped down, but then you start adding all these elements and go, oh, that sounds really good. Let's add some more. And
right.
More and more. So what's your, I think you said before you wrote poetry. So I'm assuming, and having rewritten this, you had the lyrics and you wrote a number of different chord structures to go behind that.
I did. I had so many different lyrics. And at the beginning when I wrote this, there were definitely more things that were not so focused about the situation. Like I was writing about political things and the pandemic. And I was kind of, you know, even writing lyrics about, I'm going to make things better. You know, everything's going to be fine. It's like, I don't need to write that, you know? And so I really wanted to just simplify what I was saying. I definitely had a lot of different bridges in pre-choruses, you know, talking about, you know, trying to count silver linings and, you know, maybe this was the wrong timing and maybe I'm missing out and kind of alluding to that. But I was like, you know what, let's go back to the song, keep it simple, one message, you know, say what I want to say. Let's not try to be a fancy songwriter and overcomplicate things. I just want to say what I want to say.
Mm-hmm. So maybe you have another song in there with all everything you tossed out.
There is, you know, it's funny. I have the Word doc open right now and it's like 12 pages long. And whenever I do writes with people, I'm like, we can never delete anything. Everything goes in the graveyard to the very bottom, you know. Yep. Maybe we'll come back to life, but we can't delete it. So there's a lot there for sure.
Now, as you write, is every poem you write geared to be a song?
Not necessarily. I think a lot of the song ideas that I have are song seeds, whether it's just like, it's usually a lyric idea or a melody. And I mostly have a lot of, you know, notes on my phone or voice memos that I'll just go back to. I get a lot of ideas when I'm driving home after some event or a gig. That's when I'm usually very creative. So I'll just kind of like keep my phone, you know, on voice memo and I'll just like keep talking and then, you know, listen back later. But yeah, I think it just kind of depends. You know, it just kind of hits you sometimes and you have an idea or, you know, you have an idea, a song seed from like 4 years ago and you're like, oh, this is more relevant than ever. Let's dive into this, you know? So that's kind of where it goes.
I sometimes think with all the technology in music, the best technology is that voice memo on your phone. That has probably led to more great songs than anything else out there. It's incredible.
Definitely. I know. I don't know how, like, in the past people had, you know, the bandwidth to remember things. I mean, even when I'm doing like co-writing or writing myself, I've got like 30 voice memos and maybe they all sound vaguely similar, but it's like, what was that melody I did like five times ago? Like, it's so crucial. So crucial. Yeah.
I just sit and pluck on my guitar and I come up with some chord pattern that I think, oh, that's kind of interesting. And pop that phone right down front and just play it. It might be 30 seconds or so, but at least I've got it because an hour later I won't remember it. And I know everyone feels the same way. It's, you know, your head goes to something else and that's it. So Steph, let's see, you are available for people to hear more of and see more of at stephaniejames.com, right?
Yeah, stephaniejamesmusic.com, and then it'll just be Stephanie James Music on TikTok, Instagram. You know, Spotify is obviously just Stephanie James, but that's where you can find me.
And Stephanie with a P-H, S-T-E-P-H-A-N-I-E, James, J-A-M-E-S, yep. All right, well, Stephanie, thank you. This is really fun. I love this song, and it speaks to me because of what my daughter went through. Very much the same thing. She came home and had to live with her parents too, and it was not easy. But thankfully, it all worked out. It sounds like it has for you, and you still got a whole lot ahead of you. All right, good luck to you on that whatever quest, wherever that quest takes you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for having me and chatting. I really appreciate it. So thank you for your time.
You are so welcome. All right. Take care, Stephanie. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Song Creating on Radio St. Pete. If you like what you hear, you can find Song Creating on your favorite podcast app or at songcreating.com. To check out my own music, go to steverobb.com. And until next time, keep a song in your head and music in your heart. Thanks for listening.